The Lake George Dinner Theater is celebrating its 45th season. The professional theater company presents Norm Foster's The Love List through October 20th at Holiday Inn Resort in Lake George. The comedy tells the story of two friends who make a list of the traits they consider important in an ideal female companion and the trouble that ensues when they actually meet a woman who fits the bill. Terry Rabin is the author of the Lake George Dinner Theater. Did I just screw it up?
You did, but it's that's okay. You're in charge, Joe. You can say whatever you want.
We just went through it. For God's sakes. Terry Rabin is the producer at the Lake George Dinner Theater, and he joins us this morning with two of the stars of The Love List, Rachel Cornish and Jarell Davidow. Welcome to the roundtable. Did I get that right?
Yes.
No, Jarell.
Yeah.
You said Jarell.
Oh, okay.
It's okay, Fred.
And everybody thinks he's Superman's father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that all the time.
Gerald. All right. Well, now, okay. Start the theme again. Let's start it over. Let's do this again. Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. I love having you here. We always love having the Lake George Dinner Theater folks here. Terry, tell us about how this particular production came to be. You've worked with this playwright before.
Yeah, we first produced Norm Foster 3 years ago. We did one of his new plays. It was actually in manuscript form called Old Love, and it worked out very well for us. Audiences really liked it. When I did some research into him for that one, I found out that he was known as sort of the Neil Simon of Canada. Very prolific, mostly writing comedies, commercial pieces. And so this year when I was looking for a three-hander, I did a lot of reading of plays, and I went back to his canon, and that's where I found this one.
Three-hander.
Three-hander, three-person play.
And that's what you really need, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, it works well for what you're doing.
It does. I mean, you know, I would like to do larger shows when the theater is, you know, a little more profitable than it is right now, because I'm still paying off the original investment, having just purchased it like 5 years ago. So last year we were off a little bit. Most theaters were. We had a good season, but we were off a little. And so I felt that going from a four-person cast to a three-person cast would just allow me a little more fiscal flexibility. So that's why I went looking for plays with three characters rather than four, and I didn't want to go to another two-character play. So,
And when you have three great actors, you know, let them do all the heavy lifting.
Exactly. You know, and just hand it to them and say, do what it says in the script, and I'll see you on opening night. You know, and Gerald has done the show before when he auditioned for me. I realized that he had done this play 2 years earlier, so he was a terrific find. And Rachel and Bill Saunders, who's not with us here today, were people that I just found out of the open audition scenario. And they say casting is 90% of it. It's like about 95% of it. I'm very, very happy with everybody. Very happy with the cast.
Gerald, what brought you to the production in the first place? Obviously, it's a piece you enjoy if you want to come back and do it again.
Absolutely. It's just a great comedy, really well written, so much fun to do. You know, the audiences, I mean, you just get bombarded with waves of laughter, which is so much fun as a performer. You know, and it was true the first time I did it in New York. We did an off-Broadway production at a place called Manhattan Theater Source about 2 years ago. And when I saw that they were doing it again in Lake George, I just said, oh, this is a great opportunity to, you know, play this part again and you know, explore it a little more. So I went after it, and you know, thank goodness I'm back up here doing it again.
Now, Rachel, what is it like to play the ideal female companion? You're perfect.
Yeah, I know. It's great. It's a lot of fun. I mean, thank God that the lines have been written for me to play, but it's absolutely wonderful. I mean, I get to play this really kind of sexually confident, ambitious, intelligent, fun woman. It's absolutely great, and it's great working with the guys. It's just a lot of fun.
And are you, it starts off with the two guys kind of coming up with the list, right?
Right, right. The scene, the play opens, it's my character's 50th birthday. My best friend Leon has gotten me a gift called the Love List, which is a mate-finding service that's run by a gypsy woman. And I have to fill out the top 10 qualities that I want in a woman. And so the whole first scene is us filling out the list and coming up with the qualities that we desire in a woman. And the very next scene, Justine shows up, and I'm not sure where she came from, and you know, and the play sort of takes off from there.
And comedy is important in this type of work, isn't it?
Well, yeah. You know, when you're running a summer theater, I mean, most theaters during the summer will focus on comedic material. You know, Capitol Rep has, you know, they go more for the entertainment. They're doing Ella now. I'm trying to think, Adirondack Theater Festival this summer, you know, more comedy and more music, you know, in the season. Comedy is really what people are looking for when they're coming up into the area for vacation. You know, nobody yeah. wants to go to an Ibsen festival during the summer.
Has there ever been an Ibsen dinner theater?
I don't think so. But, you know, you give me an idea.
Yeah.
You
know? Not a good one.
Well, you know, it'll just be like boiled potato and water or something, you know.
Okay.
But, so, yeah, finding something that's fun and funny is very important. And I know my audience pretty well. I have a lot of seniors who come up for the matinee and then younger demographic for the evening shows. And
yeah, you do this lunch and dinner.
We do lunch and dinner, yeah. We do 3 matinees a week and 4 evenings. And we have very different audiences at the 2 different shows. And so trying to find something that is maybe a little edgy but still, you know, fits into what the entire demographic would consider to be entertaining, you know, and appropriate. We do get a little edgy. We have some people who, you know, are sometimes a little off-put by some of the language that they may find in the play, but they are in such a minority, and most people really eat it up. And most of the time, the seniors are the ones who eat it up the most.
Mm.
They love a little racy humor. They love a little sexuality. They love the flirting that goes on in the play, and in this one, I think, you know, I was really looking to find something that didn't, a story that doesn't end necessarily with a happily ever after, but rather something where we've got this fantasy woman that men who typically are being dragged to the theater by their wives, I think the men are kind of intrigued by this one because we have this very attractive woman who is this ideal, and she's sexy, and she's smart, and she's, you know, and she's forthcoming, and I think they think that she's kind of fun to watch, you know, especially with this everyman character playing against her.
Mm.
And one of the things that we found also is that because there's sort of a mystery in terms of where she comes from, audiences out there during the intermission kind of buzzing about, well, is she real? Is she a dream? Did it really? And that was something that was completely surprising to me. I didn't think audiences were going to react like that. And it's fun to see them sort of, you know, putting their heads together and saying, well, what do you think, you know? And
you can even hear during performance. I mean, we, you know, the audience is quite vocal during performances where they're trying to figure out who this woman is yeah. and where she came from and where the play is going, you know, and that's really a lot of fun when you're up there, you know, acting in front of these people that are so engaged in the story and laughing along with it as well, but they're really intrigued by the story and just to hear
and
their reaction.
So physically close to you as well.
I mean,
we're the most intimate professional dinner theater in the country, and they are right on top of you, and you can, you breathe together.
Yeah.
You know, you really
yeah.
breathe together up there.
Now, given, Gerald, that you've done this both in New York and here, what is the difference doing it when people have food and drink in front of them? Is there a difference for the audience?
There's just more clinking.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, glasses clinking and stuff like that. And it's a more, because everybody's sitting at tables and not in traditional theater
right.
seats, it's I think the audience feels more relaxed. So there is a lot more, like I said, there's just more talking in the audience, which is a great thing. I mean, particularly for this play, a comedy, you know, there's not the formality of the theater and the distance between the audience and the stage, you know, so it's just a much more relaxed, fun, intimate atmosphere to do it up here, and particularly in a theater like Lake George Dinner Theater. It's really fun.
And do you move around?
Within the
setting of the space, or you stay on stage?
Oh, yeah. No, we stay on stage.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
we don't break the fourth wall in this production. Yeah,
that's good. I like that.
Not a Tony and Tina's wedding kind of guy.
Stay where you belong.
Yeah. Don't talk to me.
Both cases. Just stay where you belong. When you, as producer of this, do you worry solely about the show, solely about the actors, or do you have to worry about that you have enough salary?
No. At first, I thought you said salary.
I know salary. That you have to worry about.
Yeah, that I have to worry about.
We all
the
do.
Nice thing about this operation, and the thing that makes us, frankly, very unique, is that I don't have to deal with the food side of things at all.
Okay.
I coordinate with the hotel. I have to make sure people are happy and that they like the food and that the food is good and that they're not going to complain because I'm the front man. I'm the one who's walking around all the tables. But short of that, I don't have to deal with that. Okay. So I'm not doing ordering of food. I'm not doing prep of food. They do that. And I bring in the theater piece. And then we coordinate in terms of, you know, when we will open, when we will close, staffing issues, things like that, and just making sure that everything runs as smoothly as it possibly does. But thank God I don't have to get into the food service end of it.
You have a long season. I mean, you do one show for a long time.
Yeah, and it's been that way for a long time. I've been really toying with the idea of maybe around Labor Day switching off and, you know, opening a second production. I've got a good, Bob Gepford, who does reviews for you folks.
Yep.
And, you know, I've asked him, I said, do you think it's a good idea? He says, you know, I think people think of the dinner theater as kind of a once a summer gig. And that if you do two shows, you'll cut your audience in half. And I tend to think he probably has something there. It is a long season. There are performances where we are packed. And there are other performances less than 7 hours later where we've got 40 people in the audience, you know, and I wish it were a little more consistent from matinee to evening. But that's sort of the nature of summer theater in Lake George, where you're doing something that's not really kid friendly. And Lake George is really designed more for families. So during July and August, we don't get as many people as we do after Labor Day when the locals start coming up.
And Leaf Peepers and all that.
And the Leaf Peepers.
Yeah. You know, with that said, I find it interesting because you talk about kid performances, but this year, you know, you're in your 45th year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a reputation. But I went up for the Big Apple Circus that was in Lake George, right on the shores of Lake George. And we went to a performance on a Sunday afternoon, and it was heartbreaking to me because they had like 50 people in the audience. And I thought to myself, my God, you know, if this woman's holding up like 8 people on her hand, you know, people should be seeing this, it seems to me.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe it takes time to establish that you're there, or also, I don't know, or there's just so much going around.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I
was very saddened.
We might have been at the same performance because I was also there for a Sunday and it was less than 50% full.
Such a great show. That's the
and
thing.
A fabulous,
yeah,
show.
And family friendly.
Yeah, absolutely,
I mean, it's perfect for Lake George.
And
it seems
not
to me.
Not expensive. I mean,
right.
It was they weren't you know ripping you off. It was nice. You could buy a hot
air
dog.
Air conditioned.
And it was very nice.
It was really comfortable. And talk about intimacy. I mean, at the end of the show, when those trapeze artists are like 20 feet away from you, I know they threw a lot of money into advertising. I don't think they made their nut this year. I hope they come back because I think they're a really really good thing for
Lake
George.
But does that help you? I mean, the more stuff, the better, or does that hurt you?
Yeah, I know. I think it helps. You know, the more that brings people up to Lake George, the better are the opportunities that some of them are going to go looking for something to do in the evening. If it rains, you know, they're going to say, oh, we can't go to Great Escape today. Let's look for something else to do. And a few of them will find the dinner theater. So, the more that there is out there, the more it's going to help us. But that said, Adirondack Theater Festival closes right at the end of end of July.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a fairly short season.
Mid to late July, yeah.
And then a lot of people, most of the locals tend to say, well, you know, ATF is only running a show for a week and Barrington's only running for a week and a half or 2 weeks. So most people in the area, the locals, will say, well, I'm going to go over to Barrington and I'm going to go to Williamstown and I'm going to go to ATF and I'm going to go up to the depot. I know that Lake George is going to be there through the middle of October. So we'll put that off until the crowds are gone in Lake George. And so that's why typically after Labor Day, my numbers, they improve. Because the locals start coming to see us then. And the demographic, Joe, has changed so differently. You know, it used to be people would come up to Lake George for 7, 8, 9 days. Now they come for 3.
Yeah.
So when they come into town is a big factor in terms of, you know, whether they're going to come to the dinner theater. If they come in on Saturday night, you know, we're dark on Sunday and Monday. And if they're leaving on Tuesday, we don't have a chance to get them into the dinner theater. And the whole nature of vacationing has just changed. Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating stuff. Well, the good news is the Love List is up and running at the Lake George Dinner Theater. It's through October 20th. You can find out more information by going to lakegeorgedinnertheater.com, lakegeorgedinnertheater.com. Here's where I get to make good. Rachel Cornish, Gerald Davidow.
Good enough.
And Terry Rabine.
Yes.
Thank you very much
for
being with us. I wish all the luck in the world.
Thanks, Joe. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.